Please turn with me to Psalm 138, please. Psalm 138, we read together verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word. It's especially for that last phrase there that I would draw your attention to this portion of the scripture. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word. There are many names given for the Lord Jehovah in the scriptures. Some of them, of course, you know. Those perhaps might not be as well known to some of you. We don't have the time this afternoon to go into them. They each bring before us the characteristics and virtues of God, Lord Jehovah. For instance, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is our provider, and indeed he is. Provides for all our needs. Jehovah Nisi, he's our banner, he goes before. Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord is our shepherd. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. And many others, Jehovah Tsidkenu. Quite a number of them found in the Old Testament that bring before us these characteristics of God. And rightfully so. Here we have a statement that I must confess staggers me. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. All thy name. You know how much he thought of his name. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I don't think we as the people of God appreciate the Word of God as much as we should. Where would we be today were it not for the Word of God? You think how it has taken at least 1,740 years for approximately 40 different people to comprise the Bible as we know it today. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. You think of what some of them had to suffer. You think of the martyrs in the early days of Christendom, how that they were burnt as human torches at the stake. And those drunken orgies that Nero had in his garden. Why would they do it? The Word of God. It was precious to them. Why is it today that many women will leave the comforts of home and civilization in the so-called Western world to go to the regions beyond? Why would they go? They've got a book in their hand. It's the Bible. The Word of God. Do we really respect and revere the Word of God as we should? You know, I understand that scribes, when they were copying the scriptures way back then, when they came to the word God, they would clean their pen and use new ink. When they came to the word Jehovah, they took a bath. That's how much respect they had for the word of God. How much reverence, how much respect do we have for the word of God? Sometimes, you know, you go into a home and you find it lying on, as I did recently, lying on a table, and on top of it, is the remote control for the TV. I went into another home not too long ago, by that I mean within the last year, and on top of the Bible was a book called Money. It had to do with investments. I don't like to see anything placed on the Bible, the Word of God. This is God's book, and we should respect it and reverence the Word of God. Now, of course, everyone doesn't respect the Word of God. I know down in the States we have the evolutionists, the atheists, the communists, National World Council of Churches, modern preachers, and many others have no respect for the Bible, the Word of God. And if it were up for them, they would burn and ban every Bible on the face of the earth. But you can be sure of one thing. This old book is going to be around long after they themselves have been burned and banned. You can depend upon that. They don't respect the Word of God. They'd like to tear it apart. Recently, I was in the hospital about 6 months ago, and when I was in there, a man of the cloth, so-called, came in his dark outfit, turned collar. Never seen him before. He says, "You're new here?" I says, "Yes." He had the list of the new patients. He says, "I'd like to talk to you." I says, "Sure, go ahead." And he started to ask me about my condition and so on. And then I said, "I want to ask you a question." I said, "I want to give you a hypothetical case." I said, "Let's assume that I'm lying here on this bed and I've got 5 minutes to live. Can you tell me how I can get to heaven?" He smiled, you know, and he said, oh, you look like a nice fellow there. And he's going on and on. I almost had to look around to see if there was someone else in the bed. He couldn't have been talking about me. He was just puffing me up and making me feel such like a great guy. He didn't know me, never seen me before in his life. I said, I'm down to 4 minutes. And he went on and on, 3 minutes, 2 minutes. I'm gone. I said, I'm gone. You've had 5 minutes to tell me from that book you're carrying around in your hand how to get to heaven, and you couldn't tell me. That's sad. That's sad. Well, I told him how he could get to heaven or where he'd be if he didn't. He left me and he stood at the door and he pointed his finger back at me. His minor hockey said, I'll never forget you. And he won't. He won't. Because if he dies in his sin, he'll realize he had little or no respect for the Word of God. That's sad. That's sad. That's sad. But listen, 2 days later, another man at a cloth came in. He had on a regular suit, about 35 years of age. A little book, I assume it was the Bible, very small, and I can understand why. And I gave him the same hypothetical case, and I almost ran through the whole thing, except this. He didn't believe the Bible was the Word of God. Here he was, a so-called pastor in a certain denominational church. He didn't believe the Bible was the Word of God. Then what are you doing? What are you doing going around telling people? Giving him a little bit of comfort, so he thought. If he didn't believe this was God's Word, I said, you don't believe in a place called hell? He said, oh, no, he said, we don't believe in a place called hell. I said, then why is it in the Bible? This, as sure as I'm standing, here's what he said. He said, that happened, he said, a couple thousand years ago, he said. He said, by the time of Christ, he said, that the people had little respect for the Bible except when they had their children who were wetting the bed. He said, when they wet the bed, they told him there's a place called hell. Imagine. That's the respect and reverence he had for the Word of God. That's pitiful. This is real. These are real people telling real people, all of whom are loved by God, that really this isn't the Word of God. Then what are you doing? What are you doing going around like they were doing, trying to give comfort to people? Very thin Bible. They didn't believe certain things. They poured out. See? That's sad. But we thank God today we have the book. Now, mind you, I don't understand everything in the Bible. I don't understand the creatorial work of God. I don't understand the incarnation and the condescension. I don't understand the virgin birth. I don't understand how God could love me as he has. I don't understand the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand his perfect life. I don't understand his death at Calvary. I don't understand his resurrection from the dead and his ascension to the right hand of God. I don't understand it. I believe it. I believe it all. I don't understand how God could look at me and say, you're a joint heir with my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand how I could be seated, spiritually speaking, in the heavenlies with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand how I could be justified in the sight of a holy God as though I'd never sinned at all. But I believe it. I don't understand how I could be accepted in all the acceptability of God's beloved son, but I believe it with all my heart. I don't understand the doctrine of election, foreknowledge, predestination. I don't understand how I could be chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. But I believe it with all my heart. If I live to be 100 years of age, I'll never understand the last verse in John's Gospel, chapter 21, and verse 25. And there are many other things also which Jesus did, the which, should they be written, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. If there's anyone here today who can explain that to me, I wish you would. If the world can't contain the books that should be written about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, how can I, as a mere human being, understand everything? I want you to know I believe it. I don't understand everything. I believe every word in this book from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22. For that reason, I make no apology for the Word of God. This is a powerful book. A powerful book. Think of the millions of souls who don't even know that it exists. We're a fortunate people today. It's a powerful book. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 23 there, or 29 rather, in verse 4, he says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is filled with majesty. No mere book. 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
led by the Holy Spirit of God to put down. In many cases, they didn't understand either what they were writing. But they were led by the Holy Spirit of God. And the people that like to burn and ban this book, I want you to know, friend, it's going to live forever. In Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And the Lord tells us in Matthew 24 and verse 35, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away, and neither it shall. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, verse 25, the word of the Lord endureth forever and forever and forever. Thank God for the word of God. It's a powerful book. The writer to the Hebrews in 4 and 12 tells us the word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's a powerful book. The word of God. Oh, how powerful is his word. So powerful. We read in Psalm 33 and verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. All he had to do was to utter the word, and it came into existence. Hebrews 11 there in verse 3, the worlds are framed by the word of God. You know, we know very little about the universe today. We're learning more day by day. Day by day. I taught my son-in-law the last time I was in Los Angeles. He works for JPL, the Jet Propulsion Lab. He's working on the Mars project. He said, Dad, he said, I want to tell you, he said, just how far the universe extends as far as they know. He says, it takes a second and a half to get a radio signal from the moon back to Earth. He said, we're working on the Mars project. And he says, it takes 4 hours and a half to get a signal from Mars. That means that if someone were out there in Mars calling Earth, it would take 4.5 hours for the phone to ring. We can't imagine the universe of God. It's powerful. And I thank God for those who had respect and reverence for the Word of God. About 30 years ago, I was working on the space program. I was down in Huntsville, Alabama, at the Redstone Arsenal. It's also called the Marshall Space Flight Center. And had a chance to speak to Dr. Werner von Braun, who died a few years ago. And the question was asked, why at the end of the war over there in Europe, with the Russians behind you and the Allied forces in front of you, why did you surrender to the Allies instead of to the Russians? He said, that's easy. My mother taught me that the Russians were atheists. They didn't believe in God and the Word of God. She said, she also told him that the Allies, the Western world, believed in God and the Word of God. And that's the reason he came to the United States. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. But he had respect for the Word of God. Now, talking to him further, I don't believe he's a born-again Christian. Very religious man, believed in hereafter and so on. I don't believe, and I hate to sound judgmental, but I don't believe he was a born-again child of God. But in any case, he had respect for the Word of God. It's a powerful word. You think of God's creation. You go back to the Genesis chapter 1. 10 times over in that first chapter in the book, in verses 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, 24, 26, 28, and 29, we read these words, and God said, that was it. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. Was there light? You know there was light. Why? God said so. Isn't it nice to know that there's a God who can speak the truth in contrast to mankind? Paul tells us in Romans 3 and 4, let God be true and every man a liar. Back in Numbers 23 and verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. No, no. Hath he not said it, and shall he not make it good? Hath he not spoken, and shall it not come to pass? Friend, you can depend upon the word of God. Hebrews 6 and verse 18, it's impossible for God to lie. Titus 1 and 2, God cannot lie. A few years ago on business for the university, I went down to present a paper down in South America, down in Lima, Peru. And while I was down there, I thought I'd go and visit one of the missionaries from New Jersey. And I was kidding him when I saw his place on the side of the mountain there because it looked like a Rube Goldberg deal. I was kidding about making moonshine. He had a lot of apparatus, pipes, and so on, you know. He said, well, what I'm doing, he says, is I'm making records, phonograph records, for the Indians down there, 42 different dialects. He said, we make these boxes, and they turn. they turned these records and they listened to the man in their own language presenting the gospel to them. And he says the reason they have confidence in what they're hearing from the records is simply because the man says the same thing every time. He never changes his mind, see. There's got to be something to that, see. Mankind would change what he's saying, see. But not this record. The man says the same thing every time. And that's how God is. And so is the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, there's much could be said about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His Word. We know that. Look at the millions of souls that are in heaven today, including my own father, because they believe the truth of what He said in John 3 and 16. John 5 and 24. John 6 and 63. John 7 46. Never man spake like this man, and neither they had. You ask Mary and Martha, the power that was in His words. Recall how He went into that little town of Bethany, into that little cottage, and bound up the wounded hearts of Mary and Martha, who were grieving about their brother Lazarus that had died. Well, they had hoped the Lord Jesus Christ could have been there in time. Listen, friend, He was 4 days late. He was still on time. He grieved for them, as we read there in verse 35, Jesus wept. In verse 43, Lazarus come forth. There was power. There was power there in the garden when Judas led those soldiers to lay hold upon the Lord Jesus. He gave them a betrayal kiss. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, whom seekest thou? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. In verse 16, He says, I am. John 18 and 6, He said, I am. He was a great I am. Back in Exodus there, 3 and 14, I believe, 14:3, He was a great I am. That was enough. They fell backward to the ground. There was the power. There was the power. But let me very briefly mention, especially for the younger Christians that are here today, the power of the Word of God. First of all, it had power in our conversion. Here's what we read in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Everyone in this gathering here this afternoon, everyone in the province, in the country, throughout the world, we were all born again exactly the same way. At different times, obviously. At different geographical areas, obviously. But we were all born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What does that mean? It simply means we believe the Word of God. The Word of God said we were sinners. The Word of God said there was absolutely nothing we could do to save our own souls. The Word of God said that Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago and shed that precious blood to cleanse us from all sin. We believed it. And the Word of God says, if you believe it, you're saved. I believe with all my heart that the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood at Calvary's cross to cleanse me from all sin. That's what salvation's all about. The day I got saved. It was the Word of God that I'd heard as a young boy in the gospel hall back in Denora, Pennsylvania. It was impressed upon my heart and soul. Here I was hearing the same verses that I'd learned as a little boy. The scripture verse that really struck me, I was saved in a hospital, in Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. God had to place me on my back in a hospital to bring me for me the fact, you're not here long. What's going to be the end of it all? You're going to die someday. What if it's in that operation tomorrow? And I wasn't afraid of the operation itself. I'd been in the hospital 9 times before that, but I was afraid that this was God speaking to me for the last time. And I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. All the impression the Word of God had upon me. We're born again by the Word of God. How powerful is the Word of God? Not only are we born again by the Word of God, but we grow and develop spiritually by the Word of God. In that same 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, what? That they may grow thereby. Friend, listen. If you're not growing spiritually, and if you're not developing as a Christian, you can be sure you can lay it to one fact. You're not spending time on the Word of God. I don't believe it's possible to spend time on the Word of God and not grow and develop. Let me ask you, in the fear and presence of God this afternoon, I'm not casting stones. I cast my first, if I did, myself. How much time did we spend on the Word of God last week? How much time did we spend on reading the newspaper? Or maybe some other secular magazine? TV? I'm not going to preach against TV. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not here. That's between you and the Lord. And if I did preach, it wouldn't be against TV. It would be against the telephone. There's more harm done with the telephone than the television. The television can ruin your spiritual growth and development. The telephone can reckon us up. Here we are. It's a growth. And our physical growth is dependent upon what we put into our body. Now this body, such as it is, doesn't belong to me anymore. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? If you have a God, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. I don't belong to me anymore. I can't go where once I went. I don't say what once I said. No, my friend, I don't do what once I do. Why? I don't belong to me anymore. I'm to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's sad sometimes when you see a physical dwarf. I think it's sadder when you see a spiritual dwarf. Someone who's been saved a number of years and stumbling over the basic and fundamental truths of God. Friend, what are we feeding on today? Are we spending time on the Word of God? We've got to grow. That's what he told us at the end of his second epistle in chapter 3 and verse 18. He said, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told the Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 10 that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Do we really know the Lord Jesus Christ? Couldn't we know him better? Couldn't we spend more time on the Word of God? I'm talking to me. It's easy for me to pick up a newspaper and spend an hour looking at the newspaper. Then I'm ashamed. Friend, we've got to get back to the book. You get back to the book and you get back to close communion and fellowship with God, and there will be spiritual growth and development. When I was first saved, I came home from the hospital. My wife wasn't saved, and she sat there by the bed, and she was reading the scriptures to me. I enjoyed that. I needed that. I'd wasted 30 years of my life. And I had that desire. Newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. Grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I trust that today, as we think upon these things, we might just realize we're not going to be here too long. None of us are going to be here too long. The coming of the Lord is near, perhaps today. Let's spend time on the Word of God. Nothing is more profitable than having close communion and fellowship with God by reading His Word, speaking to Him in prayer, and witnessing and telling others what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, and what He can likewise do for them. Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, and in chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. The best example I can think of that, and I often think of that verse. 2 years ago, as I was having tent meetings back there in Pennsylvania, I was giving away these wall plaques that Brother Timber from Sarnia, Ontario had made available. And in the back of the tent, this man came up to me and said, I'd like to have about a half a dozen of those. Oh, that's fine, no problem. So I gave them to him. He says, I'm a barber. He says, I live in Monongahela, which is 20, 30 miles away. He says, I'll put them up in my barber shop. Well, I was riding through that town one day. I just thought I would just stop in to see if he really put them on the wall. If he hadn't, I'd had a little talk with him. I went into his barber shop there. He only had one chair. He had about 5 or 6 people waiting for him. The plaques were on the wall, but listen. In addition to the plaques being on the wall, he had a rostrum next to his barber chair, and he would clip a few clips and look at the Word of God. I couldn't believe it. You talk about redeeming the time. I'm surprised that the people would put up with it. But he was such a good barber, they were willing to wait. Imagine reading the Bible and cutting people's hair, you might say, at the same time. I can't think of a better example of redeeming the time. I'm not suggesting we go that far, but really, we waste so much time. We're not only born again by the Word of God, not only grow by the Word of God and develop spiritually, but I read from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ over there in John chapter 15 and verse 3, now ye are clean through the Word which I have given unto you. I'll tell you, this old world is sick. Filled with violence, corruption, the whole bit. You almost hate to leave the house. But we have that daily cleansing. It's like back there in the time of the tabernacle, back there in Exodus chapter 13, verse 18, we read that between the place of the burnt offering, the brazen altar, and the holy place was the laver. And that's where we are today, so to speak. We're in between, waiting for the coming of the Lord to be with him. But while we're here, we need that daily cleansing. Now you're clean through the word which I have given unto you. In Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By giving heed thereto, according to thy word. We've got to get back to the book. Paul again, writing to the Ephesians in chapter 5, there beginning at verse 26, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. Why? So they might present it to himself a glorious church, having neither spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, might be holy and without blemish. So there's that daily cleansing we have from the Word of God. Then too, as we read a little later on in that same John's Gospel, chapter 17, and in the real Lord's Prayer, you notice there in verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. It's the Word of God. It's real. You can depend upon it. No question about it. So it has its sanctifying effect. Whether you look at it positionally or practically, we're sanctified by God, we're sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ, we're sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and we're sanctified by the Word of God. That means we're set, or by the, yes, the Word of God. It means we're set apart. We're sanctified and meet for the Master's use. We're honorable vessels. How sanctified are we? You know, if you're all wrapped up in the things of time and sense, you're not leading a very sanctified life. The Lord left us here for a purpose. In Isaiah 43 and 7, he says, man was created for my glory. Are we bringing him glory? Are we living a sanctified life? Or are we all wrapped up in the things of time and sense? Remember that day or night when you were baptized? Perhaps there was a speaker there reading from, ministering from Romans chapter 6 about the meaning of baptism, you know, the whole thing. Identifying ourselves with the death, burial, and subsequent resurrection from the dead of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20, we are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. In the beginning of the next chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Why? For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we also shall appear with him in glory. There's that sanctified life. That's the reason he came. That's one of the reasons he came. Galatians 1 and 4, who gave himself for our sin, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And at the end of that same Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Have we been crucified with Christ? Have we? If we have, we'll spend more time on the book. More time in seeking to know what His will is instead of our own. Much more could be said about the Word of God. And I trust that as our brother takes the platform, we give heed and reverence to what he has to say from the Word of God.